Registered Sex Offender Program indicated they would like an opportunity to sit down and give a few thoughts on the last remaining item.
Senator Lurie, if I might ask, Mr. Benson's coming to the table. We felt that, well, we do feel it's a House position that we want to defend. We think more that we need to get a little bit more information on the three sections and what the county attorney of the county of release's role would be if the House position were to stand. We just want, for clarification purposes, so we may ask that Mr. Kerwin be able to be allowed to come back up, or maybe Mr. Benson can do that for us, tell us what the role is in each of the three sections.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Dennis Benson, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. And I just wanted to kind of rewind the tape and give some historical perspective with respect to the language that is an issue here regarding county of best plan. We have spent a fair amount of time the last year talking about what should reintegration look like for MSOP. We think it's critically important. We think there are, if the courts decide to release someone, there are lots of critical public safety issues. So when we put together our policy package, it's true that this provision was not included. As we started to talk with our partners, and we got a late start on that because our policy bill was not approved until shortly before the first deadline, so we were scurrying to get this bill put together and in the right form. And as we came before Representative Mullery's committee, he had a long agenda and encouraged us to work out all issues before we came up on the agenda. So one of the points of contention was the issue that John spoke to earlier, the issue of including county attorney of best plan in the group that would have the opportunity to object. There was an amendment. We did not object to the amendment. We felt that it was necessary to move the bill forward. So we agreed with the County Attorneys Association. It was a provision we could live with in the House bill. We then, a few days later, had the same hearing or a similar hearing in the Senate. Senator Berglund had voiced her concerns about that particular language and amendment for all of the reasons that you have heard. And it puts us in a difficult position. So we have taken a position that MSOP really needs to allow the policymakers to vet this particular provision. I understand the Senate's concern about an additional barrier, about the issue of constitutional concerns. What I did propose to the county attorney's lobbyist was, as a matter of policy, MSOP would certainly be willing to notify the county of best placement. They could then certainly talk to the county of commitment if they had grave concerns about the plan. We think that if it's the best plan, we should be willing to defend it to anybody with these people. So I just wanted to put that on the record. This is an issue, obviously, that has gained some momentum in terms of being somewhat contentious. But I think we are all after the striving for the same goal here of keeping the law constitutional, number one, and ensuring good public safety, number two. So I felt it was important that you heard from the program on this issue. Thank you.
Representative Mr. Chair, I apologize for coming late again. I was in Finance Committee and I couldn't get over here, but I don't know if this was already covered, Mr. Benson, but it seems to me that if we do begin releasing at some point individuals from MSOP, I would imagine that majority of them probably would be residing in the seven-county metropolitan area. Would that be inaccurate?
Mr. Chair.
Based on your experience at the Department of Corrections.
Mr. Chair and Representative Paymar, the interesting thing about our population is there isn't as high of a metropolitan concentration proportionately with sex offenders as there are for convicted felons. They're much more dispersed in the greater Minnesota area as well. So it remains to be seen. I think one of the things that we have talked about is the need, many of these people, the average length of time that they have been incarcerated somewhere is about 15 years. So decompression is critically important for this crowd coming out. And our thoughts as we move forward, and if the courts do in fact provisionally discharge somebody, is a period of time in a halfway house somewhere would be a critical step. We can give them additional monitoring. We can have our agents available there. We can do some outpatient treatment in that setting. But again, we all understand, too, that the concentration of halfway houses is somewhat metropolitan. But in our mind, that would be a 2 to 6 month stay, depending on the individual and the individual needs. And then we would be looking at some kind of living environment, whether it be supportive housing or otherwise, somewhere else. So, again, I think we're, you know, the county of best placement will probably change after that first 6 months, is kind of my point. If they end up in a halfway house for 2, 3, 4 months, and then they end up somewhere else, so that could become a moving target, because the best plan is going to be a continuum. We aren't going to plop them in a duplex somewhere or in a motel. I think that has been a mistake that's been made in other programs around the country, or give them a tent and send them to a park, as it has been the case in California. We want to really put good thought into what does a good reintegration track look like for this population. And obviously, we need the help and assistance of all of our county partners. We have agreed to supervise these people. We want a seamless system of supervision. We don't think it makes sense to hand them off to a county case manager the way that is the case, and does make sense probably for MIs, mentally ill, and mentally ill and dangerous cases. For this population, we know them. We want to follow them. That's part of this bill. There are many good provisions in this bill, I think, that really support and underscore the notion of good reintegration.
Mr. Chair, one more question. Mr. Benson, so if the county attorney under the House language were to object, is that objection in and of itself enough to derail the reintegration plan that MSOP would have?
Mr. Chair and Representative Paymar, well, we are charting new ground here. We haven't had a lot of experience. I was just chatting with someone a moment ago, and in my opinion, I don't think we're going to have too many provisional discharges that somebody doesn't object. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's dead in the water. I think there will be lots of concern as we release these people. But again, we are there to furnish all of the information, how they did in treatment, where they're at in treatment, what that provisional discharge plan looks like, and then it will be a court decision. There have been objections raised by somebody when the SCAP panel or SRB is in a position to move them into community preparation service, and they have moved them into community preparation service over the voice of those objections. So it can still occur.
Senator Berglund.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think part of the concern that we have in the Senate is you have an individual that has been provisionally discharged, and and they're living in Ramsey County, let's just say, temporarily, for this 2 to 6 months. And during that time, they are given a pass to go visit their mother in Renville County. Mm-hmm. So now the Renville County judge in charge of that jurisdiction could be the one that would be hearing the case, whereas there have been other judicial people involved prior to that. And the next week after that, he gets a pass to go visit his sister, who lives in McLeod County. And we have another jurisdiction involved in possible objection to that pass. I believe that it's not been thought through in a workable way to involve the county attorneys of in a receiving county, because we could have actually somebody at some point in their release phase that would be in, you know, having every county in all 87 counties having some jurisdiction.
Representative Morrow.
If I could follow up on Senator Berglund's questions, I'm looking on page R10 on the release on pass notification language, Mr. Benson. On lines 10.33, the county case manager must be invited to participate in the development of the pass plan. And if you want to phone a friend, that's fine. But my question here is, following from Senator Berglund's question, which county case manager then would be involved in the PASS plan? How would that work?
Mr. Chair and Representative Morrow, I'd ask Mr. Kerwin to respond to that. That is his language.
I will note that that is existing.
That is existing statutory language.
Statutory language. That is not something that is being proposed by the House. Mr.
Kerwin. Mr. Chair and members and Representative Morrow, when they're talking about the county case manager, the law isn't real specific about this. It's presumably talking about the county case manager of the designated agency. The designated agency who is responsible for, under current law, for providing case management services is the designated agency of the County of Financial Responsibility. And so in all likelihood, it would be that county case manager who would be involved. If I might address also Senator Berglund's question that gave rise to this discussion or the situation that she described. She described a situation where a person would be provisionally discharged to Ramsey County and then would want to go on a pass to visit a relative in Renville County. That would not be a pass under the statute, so that's not something for which a person would have to get pass eligible status and would have to have a pass plan approved. Pass eligible status and a pass plan apply when somebody is still in the facility, they're still within the confines, and are going to be given a pass as one of the initial stages of their reintegration. And in addition to that, even in a situation where in a pass that would be proposed to be given when a person is in the facility, there are two steps. First of all, the person has to apply for and receive pass eligible status. And then the provision that we're talking about here is where a person has pass eligible status and they're actually going to receive passes. What's the process for that? Who has to receive notice and who has an opportunity to do something about it? And there are certain listed people, including the county attorney of the county of commitment and the law enforcement agency where the person will be released on pass and some other people. Those people are entitled to get notice. It doesn't include the county attorney where the person will be released on the pass, and that's what we're asking to include. But for the people who receive notice, what they receive is notice and an opportunity to meet with and express their views to the head of the treatment facility, and then the head of the treatment facility makes the decision whether to give the pass. And so in response to the concern that now this would be going to the court in Renville County, there isn't any procedure for this to go to any court, and especially there isn't a procedure for it to be going to the court in the in the county where the pass is going to occur. The all that this is an opportunity for certain people to have an opportunity to consider the situation and then express their views to the head of the treatment facility, who will make the final decision whether to grant the pass.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I understand this correctly, so why wouldn't, I mean, part of the problem, I mean, why wouldn't every county attorney object to that? I mean, it's, this has, you know, this issue has everybody so afraid of doing anything that why wouldn't every county attorney just absolutely object to having an individual residing in their county just to play it safe, just to be safe?
Senator Perdomo.
I might just add to your comment, Representative Kamar, by saying, you know, many county attorneys would consider it their duty to object. And I might also just say that even without having county attorneys involved in the process, when we get persons released from the mentally ill and dangerous commitments that we have trouble getting counties to be willing to take those people back in a placement. And so we get bottlenecks in that part of our program as well, and that, I think, is not nearly as controversial as this is.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I have a question for Mr. Benson. Mr. Benson, thank you. I appreciate your historical perspective and overall view. I think it really clarified things from a program's perspective that I think is very important for us as policymakers, as you said, to understand, because the language that we use, even when you say the county of best plan, and we talk about this plan for the individual, and you also indicated that you would be able to defend this plan to anyone, which I applaud. I believe that's what we all want. We all hope that we can have a rehabilitation process that works. So in that light, to me, I would want anybody who has an objection to be at that table to say, we object, so that we can explain the plan to and defend the plan to say, this is our best chance at rehabilitating this person. We understand you may not believe that this is the place, but here is why. So we can go through the plan, we can explain the plan, and to me, we want to have buy-in, especially from that county of placement, because we want to have buy-in from everybody so that everybody's on board with the plan. And to me, that's how that individual is going to get the best work towards rehabilitation. Does that make sense?
Mr. Benson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, certainly we will work toward consensus to the degree that it's possible. As we understand, though, we have a population here that is not universally loved, and we're dealing with some folks who we're going to have a fair amount of difficulty as we start to move some of these people through the program into the community if the courts make that decision. I would hope, though, that as we move through that process, as these people get to the end stages of treatment, we think reintegration really starts there when they're still in the house, community preparation services house, and even our MSOP supervised integration program. We start to work with, there are county case managers that come and sit in on quarterly reviews and SRB hearings at that point. So we start to market where they're at, what they're looking at in terms of services needed, where they're from. We start to identify all of those kinds of things. So we start way upstream in terms of trying to develop that buy-in. So the other issue is you get all the way through the process. SRB makes a positive recommendation. I think we also need to balance how many people get to stand up and object. I foresee my fear would be that that list become, how long is it? And then, as Senator Berglund indicated, let's assume that we provisionally discharge somebody to Hennepin County. They go to the halfway house, spend 6 months, and now their father or mother live in Renville County. Do we go through another process, and does somebody have another opportunity to object if they start to move? So there's another process in play here that I think will help us with that, and that's community notification, which is also out there. And these people will also be subjected to proper community notification. So that's also very transparent. People will have an opportunity to at least be heard with respect to their concerns around community notification. So I think there's certainly a need to work together, and there's some balance that we have to reach with respect to who's involved, who isn't involved, and at what interval they are involved. And because we are, again, charting new waters here, we're creating this process, and we're trying to do it as consciously and carefully as we can.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Thault. Well, Mr. Benson, I guess that's kind of my point. So much time and effort has gone into this plan, best plan practices, that it seems like the pivotal point here is now we're ready to initiate the plan. Now, if I'm the county of placement, I would think as MSOP would want complete buy-in. So if I get a respectful position at the table to make my voice heard, and it's heard and we're still placed here, well, now I feel certainly a lot better about that I had a voice there, but I understand the program now, and we're gonna try and ensure that this program is successful. I guess that's my point. Thank you.
I would, Mr. Chair, I would just add that the program doesn't decide who was released. The courts decide who was released.
Senate had, extensive hearings on Senator Berglund's bill and my bill that the House put on. And our Judiciary Committee really felt this was a significant risk to the constitutionality of the program, that it was throwing up additional barriers. Our body, is not at this point ready to take these House positions. I mean, I do think that this bill, without these House positions, is still a very important bill to make sure we get past this session and we can continue this dialogue over the interim, and I look forward to that opportunity. Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman, I would move the Conference Committee adopt the Senate position in regard to the outstanding issues.
Senator, before we vote, we could vote, there was a middle ground question I was going to ask Mr. Benson before we did that vote. We could vote on that now, too. Maybe we should vote on it first.
Well, if there are more questions, I can hold my motion. We've been here now.
My question, Senator Lori, is this. As I read on page R10, I wonder why it's the county attorney, and I was surprised to learn it's not the county case manager of the county of best placement. So I wonder whether notifying the county case manager is not appropriate on page R10. I'm not asking anyone to answer that. But I was surprised it was the county of financial responsibility and not the county case manager of the county of placement. That was Mr. Kerwin's reading. If we look on page R16, this is a notification about documentary evidence through the special review board. And here again, I see the term case manager, but it sounds like it's an open question on line 17-14, whether it's the case manager of the county of placement or the case manager of county of financial responsibility. And then if we look, I'm sorry, Senator Berglund, but if we look on page R21, there's the appeal. and then the opposition to the petition. So it sounds like we have four different places where somebody from the county of placement either is or isn't being notified. And so I would just, I'm not trying to resolve that today, but it seems to me an open question, because certainly Senator Representative Kelly is reflecting the position that we feel the county of placement needs to get notice and an opportunity to be heard. We turned to the county attorney as being that person.
Senator Burke.
County attorney is viewed primarily in a prosecutorial role, and I don't believe when someone has been found by the courts to be given a provisional discharge, that we should be using someone who primarily functions in a prosecutorial role in regard to managing the activities of this individual. Just don't think it's an appropriate juxtaposition of the roles of the judicial system. And in the bill, the role of case management is being clearly defined as being that of the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. So at the point of provisional discharge, this case manager from the sending county would no longer be involved in the case management of the individual. Well, it would be the State Department.
And I think you highlighted an interesting point, too, because you focused on notice. And I don't think we're tripping up so much on notice. And in fact, I think I heard Mr. Benson say clearly that as a matter of practice, they were willing to adopt a position where they notify each and every county. We're not trying to hide anything.
Okay.
What we're having trouble with is granting them standing to oppose the release.
So we're really getting down, Senator Lord.
So that's the issue that the Senate really is having, and I think that MSOP has stated clearly on the record that they're willing to, within their current authority, make sure and that notice will be provided to the receiving county and make sure that they're able to attend and listen fully and hear the process that led to hopefully someday a decision to be able to move somebody through this system. So I think Senator Berglund had a motion. Senator Berglund's motion would be that the Senate position is adopted on Senate File 2531, Section 6 and Section 7. On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No.
The motion is not adopted.
We've done as much work here today.
I think we probably have done as much work as we can do today.